Lawrence Prospera is a community-driven, nonprofit organization committed to our mission of strengthening the individuals and families of Lawrence, Massachusetts through the development of thriving neighborhoods. CISU presents Hola, Honest Opinions with the Lawrence Attitude.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is your host, Nuria Rivera. Today's guest is international DJ Deadeye, a.k.a. Dustin Hernandez.
So have you lived in Lawrence your whole life?
Most of my life I have. I was born in Puerto Rico, and then I lived there for a little bit, and I moved to DR, to Santo Domingo, for about 3 years. And then we moved to Lawrence, probably 1984 or 85, one of those two. I just mix them up.
Where in Puerto Rico, if I may ask?
I was born in Rio Piedras, but then we lived in San Juan for a little bit before we moved to Santo Domingo, and then I lived in Lomina in Santo Domingo.
Oh, nice.
For like three years.
Yeah, so what inspired you to get into the music industry, if you can share a little bit about that with us?
It was like a, not a fallback plan, but it was like, it was something that was always in the mix. You know, you're a little kid, you're playing sports or trying to figure out where your way is, you know? So, you know, I was playing basketball at a young age when I was like 12 to like probably like 15 or something, 16. And then I just decided to switch it just because I felt like I wasn't progressing to where I wanted to go. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to just use my energy in a different way. So I decided to be like, okay, well, what's the first thing I do when I wake up? You know what I mean? You turn on the radio or you turn on something, some music to get you going, get your day going, you know? So I figured it was something easily I could progress to and just jump in, you know? And, you know, at the time, you know, hip hop was booming and R&B was booming and everything was big. So, you know, grunge was big, all that. So it was a good time to get into the music and try to find a space, you know?
Can you share a little bit about what kind of music you focusing on, or
with myself making music? Mostly like traditional style hip hop, or you know, big sounds now. You know, because it's like, you know, there's just like so much theatrics with the music you can manipulate.
A lot of auto tuning too.
Yeah, I don't really do too much auto tuning, but I'm saying like just the sound of the beats. You know how like in the '90s there was a certain type of sound, and then now it's like, it almost sounds like an orchestra back there sometimes, you know what I mean? So just a more eclectic sound, you know, and less, not less traditional because it's still traditional, but less regular, you know? I wanted to shoot for something a little bit more bigger. But in terms of when I was growing up, it was a lot of Spanish music around, you know, salsa, merengue, a lot heavy. And then when I got older, when I started getting into music, it was like hip hop and R&B. And classics, you know, rock classics, R&B classics, you know, Motown.
Do you remember, because I remember, but maybe that probably was a little ahead of its time, reggaeton, when it first came out, yes. The Noise, Playero, I don't know if you remember back
in,
like, that was
that.
In the early 90s.
I remember that, and it was, the sound was different, too. The beats weren't like that. And then I remember when it was here for a little bit, and then it kind of like, whatever. I don't know really what happened because I wasn't on the islands or whatever, but the sound changed completely, and then it went from more underground to being more like superstar type style, you know?
More
what I mean?
Mainstream.
Yeah,
yes,
very much so, for sure.
Then Tego came in. Yep. But Daddy Yankee was, he's in the old school.
Yeah, for
you know,
sure.
People make a big deal about
he
him.
Just
but
looks
he's
like
been
he's
struggling.
Years old. He's been yeah. around for a long time.
He's been around for a long,
long
time.
Long time.
For a long time.
I remember Mexicano and some of those.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah, it was great back then. But it was more like hip hop based in a sense, like
definitely
the sound of the music and just the style, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think it became still hip hop style, but way more like superstar status type. You know, big deal looking type people, you know what I mean?
Thank you for that. What struggles have you encountered in the music industry throughout your journey in pursuing, you know, a music career?
One thing for sure is just coming from a small town in the middle of a state that's not really big with entertainment, you know, per se. We have stars and things like that, but they're few and far between. So one thing is that, maneuvering that, and then finding where the scene is, and then trying to make a stamp in that, you know, trying to be somewhat of a big fish in a small pond, per se, you know. So that's really the journey. And then once you get and find the scene where you're moving and shaking, you know, do you have longevity there? You know, can you sustain yourself there and make a name for yourself for real in order to be able to move to a bigger market to be able to do that and have already a name established? So that's tough, you know, because Lawrence is 90-something% Hispanic, you know, so it's hip-hop's not like 100% like, you know, a normal thing they grow up in, you know what I'm saying? Not saying from Lawrence, but saying from the islands and stuff. When yes. they come here, they're normally not like, you know, not that hip-hop's not humongous and in the islands, but it's not something that's normally what you start off in, coming from there, being from Lawrence, per se, you know? But growing up in Lawrence and growing up in America and here and being engulfed in hip-hop, like, it was really nothing else that I really wanted to do once I figured out what I wanted to do. If that makes sense.
You know, it does, it does, it does. Can you share a little bit about your favorite artists, DJs, musicians that you have worked with or that you admire or that have influenced you?
Yeah, I mean, when I was younger, it was like, you know, it was like 80s. 80s hip-hop was huge, you know, so it was like Slick Rick, Run DMC, LL Cool J. You know, those are really some of the big influences, you know. And then in the 90s, it was like, you know, grunge became big. And then, you know, there was a lot of crossover with hip-hop and metal and things like that, like the Judgment Day soundtrack and things like that. And then, obviously, back before with Run DMC and Aerosmith. But those were, like, the early influences. And then, you know, once I became, like, a teenager, then it was, like, different. It was, like, Wu-Tang and, you know, Def Squad and Dr. Dre and Snoop Dogg and all this stuff, you know, that was just the new wave that was coming in, you know? So it was a great time.
Like the West Coast took West over Coast in a way.
West Coast was big, and Wu-Tang was huge and just so mysterious. You really didn't know what the heck was going on. You know, there's 9 members and some of them are wearing masks and you don't know who's who, you know? So it was cool. It was like an audio comic book, you know? At that time when I was like a teenager. So it was cool for that wave, and that kind of got me to where sort of I am now. Like that influence from the early 90s and the mid 90s was really like what molded me into what I wanted to be or what I wanted to aspire to make, you know, that type of music, you know. And then from there it changes, you know, you get older, you become a DJ, now you're playing things and being influenced by different things. You know, I have more knowledge than the normal hip hop fan. I worked in a record store for a bunch of years, so I have like rock and metal and all this random like knowledge and influences that make their way into my music as well. You know what I mean?
Now you mentioned the 90s. So when I think of the 90s and rap or hip hop, I always start thinking of, well, a lot of our youth now growing up, the new generation, did not witness, and it's just it's history to them when we talk about Tupac and Biggie, you know, and they were big during that time.
Huge. And you think about when they passed away, they were 24 years old. They were little kids.
Oh my goodness. You know Still, and that was a big deal.
You
like
know, they just seemed older, but they were young. They were 24 years old.
So a lot of the beef that, you know, sometimes rappers have or hip-hop artists have towards each other, some people might call it propaganda or marketing scheme.
That one was a lot of propaganda, but it was like gaslighted by the media, you know what I mean? It was really just two guys having a disagreement, and it became like East Coast, West Coast, blah, 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 you know? When it really wasn't that, it was just two guys, you know? But then once the media gets into it and throws like gas on the fire, now you got random people saying, you know, F this coast, F that. And it's like, how you beefing with a whole coast? That's insane. It doesn't even make sense.
Definitely.
Like, in hindsight, it was just very, very like intentional, I felt like, by certain media outlets to try to like, you know, just instigate it,
make money out of the poop. I get it. Yeah, definitely.
Sure, definitely make money off of it.
And it's very sad because they were so talented.
And there was a bunch more, you know, like that too. Same deal that passed away from nonsense, you know, stuff that doesn't even, it's not even part of the culture. So it's like, why would it be, you know, why would it take somebody that's so important, you know what I mean?
Yeah, the one of the, I've heard his music, and I'm a little older. Mm-hmm. We might be the age. I'm not gonna disclose my age.
We're probably similar. We'll talk off camera.
Pop Smoke, you've heard mm-hmm. of it. I think this kid had something because I was able to even hear his music. I was like, okay. 50 Cent, of course, was big, but he sounded a lot like 50 Cent.
Yeah, he was like a 50 prodigy. Like, 50,
but what happened 50 to him was Adam. Just like, whoa.
Yeah,
and I'm in shock. Like, these talented artists are coming up and
they're gone.
They're gone. Yeah.
Social media plays a big part in that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just like, you know, I don't know what it is. It just gives people a lot of false hope. And you know, like, he got killed over nothing, over like jewelry, like or like just some corny. Like, it just, there's no reason for that artist not to be here still. You know what I mean? Because, like, whatever that person was trying to get off him, he could have probably just been given that. You know what I'm saying?
That
he
didn't have to take the dude's life. A loss within that, within the music industry.
The ones from back in the day were a little more rooted in like, street and money things. And I feel like now there's a lot of just, like, I feel like some of the young kids just don't feel, they don't want to be embarrassed online. They don't want to look a certain way. And that's kind of what's driving certain things. Obviously, the street is involved, you know, in any way, with either money or women or drugs or whatever the case may be. But overall, it's like the internet and the social media thing is what's driving a lot of this, or gassing a lot of this turmoil, you know, with the young artists. You know what I mean? So, you know, it's tough because, you know, they've known it their whole life is the camera phone, you know, even though it's only been around for, say, like me and you, we've only been exposed to it for like 10 years. Mm-hmm. Some of these people, like, that's their whole adult, quote unquote, life, you know, from young adult to adult now is the phone and the camera and showing and blah, blah, blah. So that's what leads to a lot of these issues, I think, you know.
Yeah, and a lot of haters as well, you know what I mean?
Yeah, because for sure. Everybody. And just jealousy or it shouldn't breed that, but it does, you know.
Now, do you feel that because I remember when I was growing, you know, I'm originally from Boston, mm-hmm. and I used to have some local friends that were pursuing a career as a rap artist or a producer, mm-hmm. and I remember one of them, his name was Nixon. I don't know if he made it big, but he was so talented. He mm-hmm. was able to make beats mm-hmm. And also rap, mm-hmm. Sample a lot of songs. But he was not per se a gangster mm-hmm. or like a thug or mm-hmm. something. He was actually
Just a musician.
Well, that was frowned upon because they thought that if you, well,
that,
from what
that
I
was probably the circle that he was in, you know, because it's.
Is that a misconception, though, that if that you have to live that gang, that thug life, like Tupac would say?
That's a total misconception. That's not really what it is like that at all. And it's wild because now the scene, back when I was young, there was that element. But now, per se, like, obviously there's still that element in there. But overall, it's an eclectic group of artists in the Boston scene now. You know, there's all different types of rappers, different type of singers, different types, like... You can find your street guys. You can find your conscious guys. You can find your
academic guys
and girls that do rapping and singing and producing. Mm-hmm. Like, now it's wild. Like, now it's such a wide spectrum of artists in Boston.
As it should be.
And
I
mass
believe,
period,
you know?
Not just Boston. You know, mass period is just very eclectic right now. You know, way more than when I was coming up in it, because when I was coming up in it, it was, you know, early 2000s. So it was like a certain mindset, certain type of sound, or certain type of thing you were trying to do. And now, with the internet being huge, you can be kind of like however you feel. As long as you have people that gravitate towards you, you can kind of do whatever you want. You don't have to go through a certain type of lane. You know what I mean?
Now, if you had to work with an artist, who would you like to work with?
Locally or
and
just,
why?
Or
locally, nationally, over, you know? Internationally?
I'm different because I'm a DJ and a producer, so I'm not like a rapper or a singer, so I don't necessarily have like, you know, a stake in the type of music I make. Like, I can make any type of thing that I, if as long as it's an extension of what I feel or what I want to put out there, I can kind of make anything, you know what I'm saying? And have it be a reflection of me, you know? So I'm not really like put in the box of, say, certain people who are more opinionated of how they want to look, how they want to sound, yes, how they want to think, you know? I'm kind of like a big, like, buffet, you know what I mean? Like, you can have fish if you want, you can have chicken or beef or veggies or just dessert, whatever, you know what I mean? So I'm not really in a box in that sense, but there's a ton of people I would love to work with that I've never worked with. You know, I'd list a million names if I could, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But yeah, there's so many, you know, and there's people that I work with on my first two albums and even on my EP that were just people that I know are reliable to be how I want them to be on my music.
Mm, okay.
And I'll mix them. There'll be a certain, you know, list of certain ones that those are my go-to people, but I'll mix them in with people that they normally would never work with or have never worked with. So it's like, it's a benefit to both parties to do everything, you know,
yeah,
to
that's...
be on a song. Or just give me a rough draft or something. I'll take that. I'll get some musicians to play on it. I'll make basically a new song, and I'll add a singer and another rapper or something, like, you
very
know.
Very creative.
It's that's... like, yeah, it's kind of like painting, you know, for me. Mm. You know what I mean? You know,
I like
sometimes
that.
Like I'll go with my go-to blue.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
But then maybe I want to mix a purple in somehow. You know?
I like that. I like that.
Yeah, so it's different for me. I like it that way because I'm not like boxed in, you know.
So we have a lot of our youth right now growing up that mm-hmm. want to be, you know, like you said, social media has become a huge influencer.
Yeah. Which is weird too because it's opened up a lot of people to a lot of different things.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, when you come from the hood, there's certain things you just aspire to be.
Mm-hmm.
Like five or six different professions. That's just like what every young kid growing up in the hood that they want to be. That they either want to play sports or they want to do music or they want to do hair or they want, you know what I mean.
Yep,
and then when
yep.
they get older, they see that there's more avenues to be able to get to where you
like
want
to said,
go.
You can be a producer, you can be a DJ,
yeah,
you can be
exactly.
A
there's other avenues when you get
writer.
Older, you know. But yeah.
Yeah. So I was just gonna ask. So what advice would you give to our youth or any youth out there that are trying to break into the music industry? And like I said, it doesn't have to be a rapper. It could be like mm-hmm. you said, actually, mm-hmm. Anything within the music industry.
For sure. Everybody needs a team. You know what I mean? But also try to be as self-sufficient as you can, you know, and like know what you want. You know what I mean? A lot of kids go into like the schooling thing. Like they'll get out of high school and they'll be like, oh, I gotta go to college because that's what I'm supposed to do.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
they'll go to college and they'll kind of not know what they're doing, you know what I mean? Or what they want to do yet, you know? And they'll get to where it's like maybe even junior year and they still don't know what they want to do, you know what I mean? So it's kind of like that with anything you do. You want to kind of know what you want to be or what you want to pursue. At least one of them when you get into something like this. You know what I mean? Do you want to be an artist who makes albums? Do you want to be an artist that performs live a lot? Instead of maybe doing the studio stuff, maybe you want to do a lot of lounge singing or go on tour or, you know, all types of things. You kind of want to kind of have a little bit of a plan, you know, before you jump in, per se. Obviously, you're going to learn a lot of new things,
mm-hmm.
and you're going to need a team of people that do certain jobs because one person can't do everything. But normally, when you decide to be an artist, it's a self thing. So you kind of want to be aware or just be on top of what you want to express and how you want to be and how you want to express it to the world. Because now, anything is content, you know? You have your phone. Your phone is a supercomputer, you know. Back in the day when we were going to school, your teacher's like, you're not going to have a computer in the back pocket to do all the, your work for you. And we do.
We do. That's true. So,
you know, just have some conviction a little bit when you're young and you're trying to figure it out. Obviously, you're young. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to deal with the wrong people, you know, lose money, you know, have headaches, have heartbreak. But, you know, if you want this, then you'll strive for it any way you can. You know what I mean?
And I think it's important what you said. You need to know what you want.
Yeah, because it's so big now. You know, back when I was young, it was like, okay, we want to do this. We want to put out an album. We want to, you know, blah, blah, blah. Have a CD with our, you know, whatever. And it's like, now it's so much bigger than that, you know?
It is.
There's such a broad stroke out here. You know, you can be any type of person in this industry. You know, you can be the hair and makeup person, or you can be the
prop person,
the stage manager, the road manager. Like, there's so many avenues, you know? You kind of want to have some idea of where you're kind of going at first before you dive in, because then once you dive in, it'll either be beneficial or it'll sour you. Because if you dive into the wrong thing and you put money and effort into something that doesn't pan out, or you end up not liking later on, then you'll be soured by the whole industry, or the whole just like that, you know, and you'll want to just do something else. You know, but being prepared is like anything in life. You want to be like that. You want to have an idea of what you're doing before you jump into it.
Thank you for that advice. I think it's very important to know that.
Definitely.
What are the top three most influential people in your life?
Wow, that's a good question. I'd say my daughter for sure. She just gives me like motivation and just like, you know, gives me kind of like the blinders, like, you know, like the dogs that race, you know, they have a thing right here, so they go straight in the right path. So that's kind of like what she does. You know, she got me to realize certain things that was going on in my life were not really beneficial, or not only for the time being, but for the future. So she definitely is very important. I would say my parents, my family, my upbringing, you know. My significant other, she helps a lot as well. And I guess that's four, but I would say my team, like the people that I work with, the people that I go on tour with, the artists that I work with, people like that, you know, they kind of just, I try to keep myself around good energy and positivity and motivation and ambition, you know? Like, we want to go forward. We're not trying to stay stagnant or go back to the bad habits, you know? We're
making
trying to
progress.
Move forward and just make things great, not only for our future, but for the babies. For
yes.
You know, just make your parents proud of you or your family or whatever, and just get out here and get these wins, you know?
And that's very important.
And the only L's are lessons. That's it.
Now, what are your top five favorite books or movies?
I have a mad random selection of like movies and things like that. One book that I did like that I read a while ago was Macbeth by Shakespeare. Mad random, but that's a crazy story. but movies, I would say like Goodfellas.
Oh, I love that movie. you know, it's based on a true story,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Silence of the Lambs, another one based
on. That's my second favorite.
Loosely based on Alfredo Trevino, you know. I like that type of joint.
That's crazy.
Trying to think of another really, like, epic flick. And just some random ones that I like. Like, I like one that's, it's like a B movie, but it's so great, is Will Ferrell in Semi-Pro. It's like it's based on like a 70s basketball league that's trying to get into the NBA. And he plays the owner, the player, the coach, the promoter. He plays all those roles. It's mad funny.
You said old school?
No, it's called Semi-Pro.
But earlier, did you say old
school? No, I didn't say old school. That's a great movie too.
Okay.
Anchorman too. Those are all great.
Yeah. I was going to say, wow.
I like the new Batman joint.
Oh, really? The new Batman?
I really like that.
There's not too many, too many computer effects.
It's just like a different story. And there's not a lot of that.
Because that catches me, like, too much.
There's definitely effects, because they make the Penguin dude look like a totally opposite person than the guy playing him. The guy playing him is Colin Farrell, and he looks nothing like him. And he doesn't talk like him, or no accent, nothing.
It's
crazy.
I have to watch it.
That's a great movie. It's just a different version of the story. He's like 22, 23. He's brand new. He's only been Batman for like 2 years, so he doesn't really know everything. He gets beat up. He gets shot. And then it's him figuring out like what his purpose is.
What his powers are.
And he's learning about his family and why things are why they are. You know what I mean?
So they go back to when his parents got mugged and killed?
No, they don't show that again. That's already like known.
Okay.
This is him already Batman 2 years or 3 years in. Mm. And him already having certain things, but like not really knowing the full story.
Behind.
Until the villain in the movie, Riddler, comes and just exposes a bunch of it to where he has to ask questions now of, you know what I mean,
okay.
What's going on and why, you know? And it's like the origin of like Catwoman too. She's just a girl figuring out life and things like
yeah.
that. Yeah. It's cool. It's a cool movie. It's a different adaptation. There's no really like, there's really no bright parts. It's like very dark, very dark. Like what Batman should be, you know what I mean?
Oh, really?
I think they only show like the sun like once in it. Like everything's in at nighttime. That's really dope. That's a really dope movie. A recent one, you know. Dang. Trying to think of the fifth one. So we got funny, we got gangsta, we got serial killer, we got superhero. I'm trying to think of some like romance one, probably. You know what's a random movie that I liked back in the day was Point Break. It was with Keanu Reeves and Patrick Swayze.
You got
there
it.
You go. Patrick Swayze. Where so in Point Break. One of them plays like an undercover cop, and he's trying to catch them because they're like, I think either burglars or killers or something. But their thing that they do is they surf. So all of them will go out and surf. So he has to like integrate their whole thing and figure the whole thing out. That's pretty dope. So those are like five random movies and a random book.
I'll definitely take you on the Batman movie because
yeah,
like
definitely
Batman.
Check it out.
I'm a Batman girl more than a Spider-Man girl.
Yeah, me too. I don't like the Spider-Man new one. Like, not that I didn't like it, but it was like, meh. You know? I'm not a huge fan of the new kid playing Spider-Man. Like,
yeah.
He really hasn't had a movie, and I'm sure there's people that love him and that love the Spider-Man movies. I'm sure there are.
Just because he's just the new Spider-Man.
The thing for me is, like, all the movies they've had him in, the last three, because he's only been in three of them, I think, so far. The Infinity War and the last two Spider-Man ones. They fill the movies with a bunch of stuff. Like, so it's, like, a bunch of villains, a bunch of things happening. So, like, the kid really don't really have to act.
Okay.
He just shows up in the suit and, like,
and that's not even
says
him, you know that, right?
Things. That's yeah, like, yeah, that's
the Spider-Man,
thing.
Yeah, that's a stand-in.
But, like, you know, he's not really acting.
I know what you mean,
you
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, there's a bunch of other things happening, so you think he's like, yeah, but really, you watching these flicks that he's in the last three, and you're like, okay, like, but what is this kid? Like, what is his character? You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
He acted a little bit in the last one where, like, the Aunt May, you know, he had the Green Goblin killed Aunt May or whatever, so he had to like act like real dramatic and, you know, he was getting beat up or whatever in the movie, so it was cool. But I was like, yo, where was this for like 2.5 movies, you know?
So, where can people find you if they want to find your work or want to connect with you via social media?
Yeah, social media stuff, Twitter and Instagram. At DeadEyeStDot on both of those. On Facebook is DJ Deadeye fan page. On YouTube, Deadeye Enterprises, DeadEyeEntrprises on YouTube. And yeah, those are pretty much the avenues to reach out to me. You know, I pretty much check my DMs and stuff daily, so just you know, reach out. You know, if you're in the game and you're trying to make some moves, let me know. If not, then just follow the story. I just got back from LA. I was out there. I did a show with Terminology in Denver, and then I went to LA. I was out there with Redman and Method Man, and met a few amazing legends at the show. But it was like Ice Cube, T.I., Bone Thugs. Like, it was like all that, you know what I mean? So I went out there just to be on some like networking and,
of course,
on some fan mode situation, you know? Because I just did a show and been, you know, doing podcasts and taking pictures, you know?
Yeah.
The normal way I go about it. But, you know, sometimes I like to just do the fan / networking mingling instead, because there's no pressure of working. There's no pressure of being somewhere on at this time or blah, blah, blah. You know, you can kind of do your thing free range and be more, you know, sociable.
No, definitely. And it's good to support these artists.
Definitely.
You know, definitely.
Those are the legends, you know?
Yes, yes. That opened, you know, that opened the ground.
Yeah, they opened the door for all of us. So, you know, you still got to show those people love, especially if you're on a show like that where there's a million dope artists, you know?
So I was reading in the newspaper about hip-hop legend Kid Creole.
Yes, Kid Creole.
Sentenced to 16 years for manslaughter.
From Grandmaster Flash Furious 5.
Yeah, I was just like, whoa.
So his story is wild because the story is that he assaulted this person, correct?
Yes.
I don't know the whole, like, you know, ins and outs of it, but I did see a video. Mm-hmm. So the main evidence is a inconsequential video. So the stuff happens off camera.
Wow.
So there's really no, you don't know what the hell happened. You know what I mean? But Kid Creole, super legend, he created and started the phrase, yes, yes, y'all. So he was the first one to be like, he would do it to bridge from one rhyme to the other one. So he'd finish his rhyme, he'd be like, yes, yes, y'all, to the beach, y'all, like everybody else said after that.
Oh my God, I thought it was KRS-One.
Kid Creole invented yes, yes, y'all.
Oh, wow.
And he was part of Furious 5, which was the original, basically the first rap group to make a song that wasn't about like partying or about something like, you know, like Sugar Hill Gang was about whatever that song was about. And then it was like Basketball by like Curtis Blow, Basketball. Yeah. Remember that? So those songs are like about like regular like party or like an object. Like they made The Message, which is the first song with actual substance where they're talking about like broken glass and.
That was amazing.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes, yes.
And cars getting towed and people being broke. And that was, you know, which still is super prevalent to this day.
So they were the first
ones to do a song like that. So his, you know, impact on hip hop is crazy, you know?
That is sad.
But it's a sad ending right now because he's being kind of thrown under the bus over something that is obviously a serious issue. But I don't think 100% was his fault.
Yeah, you know 16 what I mean? Years, that's sad.
Yeah,
to be.
Hopefully it comes up for appeal.
Hopefully,
you know, the real evidence comes out. You know, the real situation comes out. You know, for him. But yeah, that's super sad.
Because imagine being you reach he's 55.
He gotta be 50.
Yeah,
he gotta be 50.
Go to jail at that age. That's probably even
approaching 60. Probably, you know what I mean?
After having all that success and influence.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much. We really appreciate you stopping by.
I appreciate you guys having me. It was awesome.
And we hope to
Paul's been harassing me to come by this building for like months. I've just been running around too crazy.
No, but definitely we wanted to hear from you. And you know, this our audience wanted to, you know, hear different
diversity. Yeah, and I didn't want to, you know, I knew it was going to be, you know, like, you know, the scheduling was weird and whatever, but I didn't want it to be like cheap either. You know,
of
I didn't
course.
Want it to be like a 10-minute thing. I wanted to give people good information and,
of course,
you know, be clear.
Plus, with you just now having come back from LA and all that,
mm-hmm.
it's, you know what I mean, you're coming back with a different hype and a different vibe,
different energy,
and confidence about yourself. That's like
for sure.
You know what I mean? And that's for what's sure. up, man. I love seeing you like this.
I was gonna say you look like Redman.
I know.
You resemble him.
Say,
a lot of people
say Redman and Method Man all the time. All the time.
Yep.
Though I have to say to you, I like their movie. It's a silly movie.
The How High movie?
Oh my goodness. It's stupid. But yeah. It's funny. It's that type of movie.
Yeah, know? That's what it was meant to do, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's crazy that it blew up and became like a cult classic because
yes.
you know, it's not like It's definitely not Oscar worthy, you know.
The other one.
Like snakes on a plane.
Yeah, snakes on a plane.
It's not that amazing.
It's definitely not snakes on a plane.
Yeah, but at the it's hilarious. I think they should have a remake. You know,
they were supposed to, right? I've been friends with them since like 2008, so that's a long time at this point now. And for like, I don't know, maybe like 10 years straight, every show they'd be like, y'all want a How High 2? We're working on a How High 2. We're working on a How High 2. We're working on a How High 2. Then they randomly fell victim to them not owning nothing and the Universal just being like, yeah, we're going to do a How High 2, but you're not going to be in it. So they did it, and they did it with like DC Young Fly and Little Yachty or something. And it was just completely whack.
Very whack.
It's completely whack, and it wasn't what it was supposed to be at all. You know what I mean? So I think what they're gonna do is, I think, you know, I'm just guessing here, but I think what they're gonna do is kind of take the Cheech and Chong route, how Cheech and Chong had
different, ooh, I love that.
You know how they had different movies?
Uh-huh.
It was the same kind of character, but they had different names. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Red.
Yeah.
Remember?
So I think that's what they're gonna do, is maybe do a different movie, not called How High,
with different
characters, but the same premise, you know?
They need to do that.
Like Still High.
Yeah, something like that.
Still High?
Nasty Doc, Ill
Yeah, High. Something like that. I'm sure they're gonna figure something out.
That would be a great way for them to...
Method Man's killing it right now, and he's on Power, he's in a million other movies, like, he's killing it with that.
Oh my God, Power's been such a hit.
He's tall as shit too, man, he's tall. But when I saw him here in Lawrence, I was like, oh, damn.
He's like 6'4", 6'5".
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I'm 6'3". Yeah. So dude's
like, I met his youngest son and his youngest daughter in L.A.
Wow.
I'd met his other kids, but these were like the babies, quote unquote, but they were already teenagers.
Yeah,
you know?
They should definitely do that. I think it would be a hit.
Yeah, I think it's in the works. I think it's in the works, you know.
Definitely. All right. This has been a great interview. We really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Definitely.
The new album, DJ Dead Eye Intervention, is out now on all platforms. Make sure you check that.
Make sure you check it out.
Yes, sir.
Word. Check out track 5 too.
Yeah, track 5. I'm at Thompson on it.
Definitely. This was not bad at all. We actually, is that a right time? The right time? No, it's 4:20. You never changed the clock.
4:20.
All right. Yo, thank you, people.
Tune in next time. Thank you a lot for having me. I appreciate y'all. You know, like I said, I got the new record out. And I got a prior music. Check out all the mixtapes. Check out the Bandcamp, djdeadeyebandcamp.com. We out here.
This podcast is brought to you in part by Lawrence Prospera and is recorded in the multimedia room at the Sisu Center. Nuria Rivera is our host and Paul Thompson our engineer and director, with assistance provided by young adults at the Sisu Center. Technical support provided by Tony Schumann. Our producer is Paul Heithaus. Executive producers are Jay Bartosik, Ralph Guerrero, and the Lawrence Prospera Board of Directors. Thanks to the generous support of the City of Lawrence, the Commonwealth of Massachusetts Executive Office of Health and Human Services, and the Massachusetts Department of Elementary and Secondary Education. Thank you to the New Balance Foundation, the Filene's Foundation, the United Way, the Nordson Foundation, and the Essex County Community Foundation. And a big thank you and shout out to the Maximus Foundation. Without their support, this podcast would not be possible. And lastly, a very special thanks to our guest for sharing their stories with us today.